You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, look, I reckon there's possibly three podcasts in this. There's so much to talk about. Now, could I just say for a start, due to these horrendous restrictions by someone masquerading as the Premier, Don has had to remain in his summer residence down at on the coast. We can't mention where he lives in case he gets swamped by activists.
It's not a summer residence.
Hang on, Don. Now, Ken, if you can hear me properly, we've got a landline in at your place, so try not talk over me and I'll try not talk over you, because eye contact is always best when I want to come in and you are going in full flight. I can look in your eye and sort of say, you know, with my eyes, but I can't do that at the minute, so see if you can make this work, will you? And now, I don't know if you've got the phone on or not, but turn that off.
Well, what do you think I'm talking to you through?
No, Don, you're not on the phone, mate. You're on a landline.
Haven't got a landline.
I've had one inserted.
Inserted.
Jesus, is he hopeless? Inserted
into what?
Inserted into your modem down at your summer residence. So try and not talk over me. We'll see how this goes, because we're separated due to the... we're into the 26th week of a six-week lockdown from Daniel Andrews, the Premier, who has, by all accounts, I think probably doing this on purpose, just to show that
he's not doing it on purpose.
Trying to make life as uncomfortable as possible.
He's not.
The virus is a real concern, the Chinese virus, but the hype about it is unreal. There is too much hype about what is the problem. There is no more cases of death from the elderly than there were from the influenza last year.
Well, how come we are on the same wavelength?
Could I
mention about the influenza of last year? Can I just give you a couple of figures? Do you realise?
I can't just go ahead, because I can't see your face knowing if you're questioning me or not.
Okay. Well, last year, 2000.
How the hell this go, do you reckon? Go on. Sorry.
Last year, there are 132,000 cases of influenza. What do you think the cases are this year? 21,000. And 36 deaths in 2020. Now, we go to last year in June. 57,000 cases of influenza were diagnosed. What do you think they are in June 2020? Come on, now have a go at this.
I don't know.
216. 57,000 last year, 216 this year. And I'll finish off with, in June last year, the number of deaths from influenza, 161. What are they this year? Zero. So something can come out of this. Many things can come out of this pandemic we're suffering, and one is isolation. And in the future, I think we start and learn a little bit about self-isolation, keeping away from people, because that is how influenza is spread, obviously.
Oh, well, if you have a responsible government overseeing the CEDAR meatworks, security firm that was commissioned by the Andrews government when they had no right to be commissioned because they refused the help from the national government about the police overseeing it. But if you want a better example, have a listen to this. There's three women, because they are women. They're not.
Well, okay, you said three women. Of course, they're women. What else would they be?
Well, we're gender neutral, Donald. People.
But I see.
A person called Hadja Timbo, Nina Marengo, and Diana Lasau. They were sprung They were sprung because they falsified and lied about their status of COVID. They came down from Queensland, have a listen to this, to Victoria on a shoplifting mission.
Yeah, well, that's the old news. Give me something new.
I was going to mention that why weren't they intercepted? How did they get in to the state? That's my point. How slack and lax. You've got people jumping up and down like Van Diemen, the ex-health minister or deputy who got sacked, couldn't run a chook raffle. And you've got these people overseeing the 26th week of a six-week lockdown. It is out of control. And the virus is...
In all fairness, I think you can come from Queensland to Victoria or New South Wales.
You have to be checked.
Do you?
What? You think you can just wander in without being checked?
I thought you could. I thought they could come down here.
Oh, so what happens if someone's got coronavirus like these?
We can't go the other way.
So what happens if someone has got Chinese coronavirus, which one of these people had? So you can just walk in and
No. That's coming from overseas. You've got to be checked. But I thought they could come into Victoria from interstate.
So what happens? Hang on.
Pausing, you laughing. I can't see what you're doing.
That's right.
Well, what are you doing?
Well, if you can't see what I'm doing.
I'm asking.
Well, I'm telling you, if you come in from overseas on a plane or a ship.
How else? Oh, okay.
Yes, you're going to smart ass. You're going to say, how else would you come in? Well, you could swim or you could come on a ship or you could come
canoe?
On a...
Canoe.
Can I what?
A canoe.
Oh, canoe, yep, canoe. You come in on a plane and you can come in from the Philippines or wherever, land in Queensland, and then because there's no checks on the Victorian border, just come down in a car full of coronavirus and come into Australia, Victoria, can you, Don? These women were on a shoplifting mission and one of them had coronavirus. Now, have a listen to this, Don.
She had a car lined up, did she?
What, Don?
She got the canoe. I'm just visualising the canoe pulling into the beach somewhere in Queensland and she just happened to get into a car and continued on down to Victoria.
Apparently, Don. So have a listen to this. This person walked into a chemist. This is how the COVID's spreading. This person walked into a chemist in Victoria here and said to the girl in the chemist shop, "Have you got anything that can offset the effects of the Chinese coronavirus?" And the woman said, "Ammonia cleaner." And the person said, "I'm sorry, I thought you worked here." Ammonia cleaner. She said, "I'm sorry, I thought you worked here. I'm only a cleaner."
Oh, I see a play on words. Well, I can't see your face, so I don't know.
So this person walks into this chemist and says, "Have you got anything that can help offset the effects of coronavirus?" And the woman who he was speaking to said, "Ammonia cleaner." And he said, "I'm sorry, I thought you worked here." So people not quite comprehend. Now, Don, you're there. Last week you fell off the chair. If I hear a bang, I'll know you've fallen off it down at your summer residence. Now, listen to me. You have received a little flack, Don, from the Hawthorne story, which I'm told is absolutely true, and you have this verified by an unlikely ally of yours to prove no one has ever said that what you said is incorrect at all, and it was we've mentioned all the other clubs that did it and all the fines, and someone
I've been excommunicated. People are ringing up, so-called friends, excommunicated, worrying about me being excommunicated from Hawthorne. God.
Welcome to the club, Don.
What have you been excommunicated
from? Everywhere. So that's because you have an opinion about things. So someone said, why didn't you mention when you were talking about Hawthorne that they got fined. And I said, well, you did mention they got fined last week. You mentioned all the clubs that have got fined for breaching all those rules and salary caps, and you said Hawthorne got fined. You did say that?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. And so I thought, have a listen to this. Dermot Brereton, I rang and I said, would you come on? And because he wasn't happy with what you said, although he likes you.
You say the same thing, yet that irritates me. He likes me. So yet he can still can you behind your back.
Well, he didn't can you behind your back. He spoke on...
Well, I haven't seen him.
but canning you behind your back doesn't... If you say it publicly on a forum, like a radio station, that's hardly doing it behind your back. Anyhow, I said, would you come on if we rang you up and would you have a discussion? The reason I'm doing this is, would you have a discussion and we could... you two could have a chat on the medium that we're on at the minute, the podcast, You Cannot Be Serious. And he says, have a listen to this. He said, well, look, I'd like to do that. He said, but I will have to check with Fox.
What's it got to do with Fox?
What an extraordinarily good question. So I said, what has it got to do with Fox?
And he said, okay.
Yeah, I said. So he said, let me check with Fox and I'll get back to you. So he gets back to me and this, I'm happy to say this. He said, I've just received a message from Foxtel and they've told me a big fat no, that... I'm aware that Sir Don, he called you?
Sir Don.
Sir Donald and I would be ever so slightly topical at the moment, but we have to let it wait a while before I'm permitted.
Oh.
What in God's name?
Please, Dermot, it will be irrelevant in a few weeks.
And my bigger point is, what would Fox tell Dermot he couldn't come on? This is not the Nuremberg war trials or the sheepdog trials either. Donald, the sheepdog trials. You know, in the sheepdog trials, three of the dogs failed. So why would Fox stop him coming on? And in fact, we made some inquiries and no one knew anything about Dermot asking him permission.
So Dermot didn't ring Fox.
I'm not saying Dermot didn't do that. We were querulous, which means we were querying why Fox would stop Dermot. How are Fox going? You'd think we could have given him a boost. We could have said, and Dermot's here on behalf of Fox Football. Is he on Fox Football? Fox Football? Who was I talking to then? Myself. I don't know why I said that. I was just thinking to myself, is he on Fox Football? That was sort of a...
throwaway line?
It was a throwaway to myself. So there you are. So you've been did you say circumcised? No, communicated.
Excommunicated.
I thought you said circumcised. You've been excommunicated from Hawthorne just because you... And who was the person who backed you up? You had someone who backed you up. We weren't going to mention who the player was. Remember we weren't going to mention who the player was.
No, don't you mention the player.
Did I say I wouldn't mention the player?
Yes, you said it.
Okay, well, I'm not mentioning who that player is.
Good.
And who was the person?
Graham Corns.
No, that wasn't the player.
No, but he rang offering support.
Right, well, go on. Tell the listener.
Well, it's interesting that Graham would ring because I thought we had a bit of a breakdown. Graham, last time I was, we interviewed him, but he rang up offering his support.
Now, that was a robust conversation you had with him. This is the trouble with people. You can have robust conversations and disagreements with people. Doesn't mean to say you're mortal enemies. Go ahead.
Well, he said whilst he was coaching Adelaide, they went after a star player at Hawthorne and...
Who was that?
No, not saying. Okay. I told you.
No, you didn't tell me who it was, but who was it? Go on.
And what happened?
You're not telling me who it was.
No, I'm not
okay,
telling you.
Okay, well,
who
that's
it was.
Fair enough. Mum's the word.
But this particular player, Graham, said he was coach of Adelaide Crows and they couldn't get the deal done because it was so complicated. He had two contracts. So he had a personal contract as well as an AFL contract.
This is with Hawthorne.
Well, he had a personal contract with Hawthorne.
Yes.
And a contract was submitted to the AFL.
Well, and what you said is absolutely spot on. It created a huge furore. Someone wrote articles about it and then he was criticised for writing the article by people on SEN who said, how could you verify that? How can you verify anything that anyone says? And then Ron Reed apparently has now... Can I mention his name?
Yeah, but can we, whilst we're on Hawthorne, could I just say thank you to the Thornbirds. Now, the Thornbirds...
The what?
The Thornbirds are a ladies' group connected to Hawthorne and have been around since Adam was a boy at Hawthorne.
Ladies.
They're ladies. They're a supporter group. They're
women.
Called the
Yeah, people. They are people. Because we're gender neutral, Donald,
and
please.
They sent me a mask. Now, you can't see it, but it's in brown and gold.
There's the woman that wrote Thornbirds. Colleen McCulloch.
Didn't she write My Country?
I beg your pardon, Don?
Was that Dorothy McCullough? My Country.
Oh,
Dorothy
McCullough. No, that was Dorothy. I didn't know what you said then. I didn't hear you clearly. My Country. Okay, so I love a sunburnt. I love it. What? Thornbirds. What did she write? She wrote Thornbirds. And what was the other one, Don? Is he calling off the line? Who am I talking to? You're there. Come in. Over. Biggle, CX4 to control. CX4 to control. Come in.
I'm trying to tell you.
What was the name of the...
I'm in enough trouble.
No, well, what was the name of the book she wrote?
My Country.
Don, never stop...
I love it, Sunburned Country.
Never stop halfway through that word.
What
just
word?
The word country. Keep on going. Don't stop
Dorothy
in the middle
McKellar
of it.
Dorothy McKellar wrote a poem. We recited it in grade 6 at Box Hill North Primary School. We
I love a sunburnt country.
A land of sweeping plains.
I bet you get one of the words wrong. Go
I'll
on.
I'll get every word
Come
wrong.
On.
Something about drought and flooding rain
now, hang
or something,
on.
Wasn't
just
it?
A minute, just a minute. I love a sunburnt country. A land of
sweeping
plains. Of
rugged mountain ranges.
Ragged.
No, rugged.
I think it's ragged.
Can you look it up?
Live her far
horizons. Have you got someone to help you on your
No,
end?
I'm going to look at... Of course I haven't got someone to help me. That name is...
Dorothy McKellar.
Dorothy McKellar. I love a sunburned country.
Of rugged mountain
If I type in Dorothy McKellar, I love a sunburned... It should come up, the words. I think it's ragged mountain ranges, not rugged. But I could be wrong, Donald. But I'm
How could you have a ragged mountain range? It's rugged. Is it rugged?
You would think it is. That's why I think I'm just checking now. And I'll stand corrected, of course, Don, because it's a long time since I was at school.
Did you do it? Did you do it? The poem at school?
Well, everyone does, Don. I love it.
Anyway, we're getting back to the Thornbirds. Can we get back to the Thornbirds? And I appreciate what they've sent me. It's a brown and gold mask made of satin. And I'd like and you can get these.
Hey.
So any Hawthorne supporter that happens to be listening in, you can get on the website, Hawthorne Football Club website, find the Thornbirds.
What colour is it?
It's brown. What other colour would it be? Brown and gold.
Well, how is it? Half of it? Brown,
yes,
half
of
it
brown.
Got a hawk on it, or
no, just brown and gold, and you can wear something underneath.
So here is the particular verse. I've got it up.
Well, you're not interested in the face mask.
Of course I am.
Anyway,
Don.
I would like to thank the Thornbirds.
Well, that's it with the Thornbirds. That's how we got onto. This is it. I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding. So
ragged.
So that is a commonly mispronounced word in that poem, and you mispronounced it yourself.
I did.
It's ragged. It's like saying there's
what follows ragged mountain ragged mountain ranges. Can you give me the other?
Yes, droughts and
memories.
Flooded rains. I love her far horizons.
Right,
I love her
jewel sea,
her beauty
and
her terror,
the wide brown land for me.
That's correct, Don.
I remember getting up in grade 5 and saying that in front of the
Best
class.
Best 3 years of your life for grade 5, I'm told. Now, Don. So, Ron Reed.
Yes.
Ron Reed said that you would be in the headlines three weeks in a row. One for the Hawthorn thing, two for, what was the other thing? Maybe the discussion we had about someone lifting their jumper, I don't know, maybe. And the third one is the Peter Crimmins book coming out where you apparently were singled out unreasonably for saying that you didn't think Peter Crimmins should be selected in the 1975-6 grand final? No, wouldn't have been five, would it be?
No, 75 grand
final. 75, that's what I said. 75 grand final. You were a dissenting vote about why he shouldn't be in the side.
I did not vote.
Right, so you've been maligned unfairly. So you seem to be the clickbait for the month. You are, Donald. You would
Am I welcome to in your club?
If you were on Twitter, you would be what's known as trending, because you have been maligned because you didn't have a vote, but you were accused by a whole lot of people of voting Crimmins out of the side. Is that right? Have I got it?
Well, that's right. That's right. It's yes, and the book is coming out in September. And what do you call it? Clickbait.
Clickbait. That's what this is.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? How they can clickbait.
So people,
you know, write a book, and they pick out.
Do you know
one
what people do?
One incident in a book.
Do you know what people do, Ronald? They make arbitrary statements based on a false premise, and then they go on to expand their arguments based on this false premise, and people think it's true. And then they say, by gee, did he or she say that? And they say, that's extraordinary, and they click on to see what else you've said, and the whole thing snowballs out of something that is a complete lie in the first place. And that's how it works, and that's where we've got to, Donald. Did you know that?
Well, I'm starting to feel for a fellow in America, your mate.
Trump?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Why would you, well, why I, you, would I, you say I'm sorry?
I now appreciate some of the things that he goes through.
Yeah, they have tried every single thing to malign that man.
Okay, well, we won't go any further. We won't go any further. Okay. We've talked enough about it.
So the AFL, now the AFL have a media arm.
Oh, isn't that a joke?
Well, it is, because it's just a propaganda arm of the AFL to disseminate...
They're supposed to be independent. Independent. Can you believe independent of the AFL?
So this is my point. The media arm of the AFL is to disseminate information out to the public, which might be in the public interest, but it's only in the public interest if it's sanctioned by the AFL. They monopolise... And it's a propaganda arm to bolster the AFL's stocks. And the classic example is Mitch Cleary, who spoke about Trent Cotchin's wife, because his wife spoke about it and he repeated it. And the AFL...
He repeated it. Do you know who let it go first, I think?
His wife.
No, Caroline Wilson. She let it go, I think, the Instagram post came to light.
How does she remain employed by anyone?
Well,
we're
not talking about that.
Well, outrageous things she says.
Please, we don't go there. I'm just saying, why should he be blamed when it was already released the day before?
By Caroline Wilson.
Yes.
That's my point. How many lives does this person get to make outlandish and disgraceful statements?
No. I'm talking about Mitch Cleary. It's already... Anyway, I just think it's disgraceful that... And he's been reinstated anyway.
Outlandish and disgraceful statements in that... The AFL sanctioned Mitch Cleary and sacked him because...
But he's been reinstated.
I know. What is going on with that institution known as the AFL? What is going on? It's all right for Carolyn Wilson to announce it, and when Mitch doubles down and says it, he gets sacked. But, oh no, not the prodigal... I was going to say son. Not the prodigal daughter of the... stands in the wings waiting to get fed stuff. It's just extraordinary. So there we are. So then Another breach of Nathan Buckley, the coach of the Pies, was identified playing tennis with Alicia Molik.
And Brenton Sanderson.
What, Don?
Brenton Sanderson. He's an assistant coach at Collingwood.
It was a threesome.
The three of them were playing. There might have been a fourth person.
You call that American doubles, don't you?
Yes, you do. Yeah, but so. I don't know what went on, but three people were named. What have you got, four?
Who said you got four?
Is there four people? Did four people play or three?
Who's
the fourth person? You'd be playing doubles.
Well, I thought it was just Nathan and Alicia.
I said Brent.
And then I thought that you mentioned another one, so that'd make American doubles. So there's four people playing, Anyhow, so he apparently, or she, breached the hub. Is it a hub we're talking about? You're meant to stay in a hub, a bubble or a hub, and you're meant to stay in that, but one of them was outside the hub and therefore...
No, the three of them were outside the... No, two of them were outside the hub. What are you snorting for?
You could hear that, could you?
I could. It's like a pig in labour.
Pig in labour. So the whole thing is just a balls up, isn't it? I mean, this is why it is completely overblown, this the hype about this virus. It is completely overblown. It is a serious thing, but it's overblown for, I think, political...
I do not think it's overblown.
Well, the hype about it is. Now, I've found this up here. Media Hall of Fame journalist Mike Sheehan. Now, he used to be on this. Did you know that? You remember that, don't you? Mike? Magic Mike used to be on the podcast here, and he got off it. Because
I don't think too many people are talking to poor Michael at the moment, from what I've heard from golf course.
Not all the people advise him to get off this. He said, I've got to leave because all my friends,
friends
up and down and said, you've got to get yourself away from me and the podcast and doing? And... he said, yeah, I think you're right. So not a word from any of them. So they're the fair weather friends he's got. So media, this is...
One or two have dropped off me too.
Oh, what a bonus, Don. It means you don't have to put up with them. So I'm reading this. Media Hall of Fame journalist Mike Sheehan says the AFL has destroyed any independence its media arm had established by its stunning decision, in inverted commas. Now, that's pretty strident. Whoa, for Mike.
What's the source? This is unusual for Michael to be outspoken.
Or he'd be very safe because he would have got...
Why?
Safe because he's safe. He doesn't want to tread anyone's toes.
Where's the source?
I'm reading it.
From what? What is it?
Well, I'm getting down to it. Stunning decision to stand down Mitch Cleary. The AFL on Monday allowed Cleary back to work after internally discussing a 2-week penalty, but only after he was forced into an apology to the league. So he apologised for repeating the story that Caroline Wilson broke. And can you see
Michael's
where...
Michael's becoming a little outspoken, isn't he?
This is... Now, you asked where this is...
Do you think his name will remain on the media centre? I don't think it'll be too long before they'll remove it if he continues down this path.
There was some discussion, the woke people just rounding him up wanted to question whether he should have the Mike Sheehan Memorial Pavilion still has his name over it. And, of course, if they took that down, I'd tell you what, if they take that down, Don, you and I will form a flying wedge and we will enter the AFL offices and ask for it to be reinstated, because that would be just stupidity, wouldn't it?
Well, I won't be part of your wedge. You can take them on yourself.
The Herald Sun revealed on Sunday night that Cleary had been indefinitely suspended by the league after he posted on social media...
Is this still Michael Sheehan quoting?
No, this is backing him up. The Instagram post from Brooke Cotchin that saw the Tigers fined $45,000.
Now, I think some of that is an abeyance. Isn't there $20,000 or $25,000? And
could well be. I'm only reading what they got. It says here they got fined $45,000. And Jeff Kennett, I think, said he was sorry about Hawthorne, who got fined $50,000 because they let some of the players who weren't selected in the side onto the ground. I think you'll find that that... I think you'll find that is correct. I'm
the whole thing. If you could, the whole thing is a joke.
If you could, just carry on down there, I'm going to see if I can find the particular piece of information. Sheehan told Sheehan told the Herald Sun the league had done untold damage to a media arm. It set up to be a lucrative media company. Here we go. In my view, this is Mike quoting. He's become very...
Now, hang on. Is Mike... Okay, I don't believe this.
Mike is now making...
I think you're making this up because this Mike's is not Mike. This is not like Michael.
Mike's made more comments on this particular topic on the social media than he has when he was ever on this show. Here we go. This is Mick speaking. In my view, it was a stunning decision. It clearly undermined the independence of the AFL. And I'll tell you what, he wouldn't want to go on too much, or they will be taking the name down off the memorial pavilion that he's got in his name. The website, which always was going to be an issue when they created it. I just can't understand the logic of it. Media is a responsible and ethical journalist and... Oh, Mitch.
No, this is
Mitch.
Not...
Mitch is a respected and ethical journalist, and Brooke had already been identified by Caroline Wilson. But she, I don't think she's got a penalty as yet. I don't think he has done anything wrong, and I cannot understand why they brought it up, the independence issue, voluntarily. This is still going. I find it hard to believe that Gillen, that's Mr. McLaughlin, he's calling him Gillen now, probably trying to create a bit of favour in case they've gone down there with the removalists to take the sign off the pavilion. I find it hard to believe that Gillen would have been party to the decision. So he would obviously having a party, but wouldn't be have decided that they
He's
would...
He's a suck, Michael, isn't he?
A big pen dot? What'd you say then?
You heard. Why would he?
I think the line's a bit dusty. Down. What did you say?
Oh,
did you say he's a
he's
what?
He's sitting on the fence. Why would he say that at the end?
About
Michael.
Gillam?
Yes.
Well, probably Trish trying to curry a little favour in case the naming rights of the stand, the media stand, were in jeopardy. And if
you think he'll come back on the podcast?
Not while he's got a hole in his coit.
He may have an operation.
If it had solved world hunger. I think he'll come back on this? Because you'll find all his fair weather friends who said to him, "You've got to get off the podcast," and now haven't contacted him. The only way he can be assured of them recontacting him is if he comes on here and they'll say, "What are you back on that for?" That'll happen.
He could get his life back in order. He may get a few friends again.
Donald. Do you know what's now? Moving on to other things. Have you got
you responsible for putting that cat's head on his?
That was just a. We have on the. We put a pussy head cat. A pussy cat's head. Because he laughed with us. We thought he was a pussy for getting off the podcast. So instead of deleting the three figures off the Smartest Sam what do we call it? You Cannot Be Serious podcast, instead of taking him, airbrushing him out, we put a pussycat's head on top of his shoulders and ice cat's head.
My son Jack was responsible for that.
Your son Jack?
Your son's Jack.
Oh, so you said my son
Jack. I know. My son Jack. I'm taking you.
What? Don, I can take myself, son. Could I speak for myself?
Your son Jack.
You said my son Jack.
Of course I did. It's your son.
Were you pointing then? I could
How would you know what I'm doing?
Do you know why?
Why?
Because I heard a pop on the microphone and I said, I bet you're pretending to point at me and you've hit the microphone with your finger. So we put a pussycat's head on top of Mike's shoulders because I said he was a pussy for getting off the podcast, but he laughed with us. It's not always laugh. Don't laugh at people, laugh with them. And he saw the joke of it and he said, yes, I was a pussycat for getting off. But and it's fantastic. Now, do you know what's happening? Do you know what nearly is the 20th anniversary of? I know that's a pretty, you wouldn't know this because I'm just a lead in. Do you remember when the 2000 Olympics were on? So it's nearly 20 years ago. I mean, the year is 20 years ago.
I think it was November, wasn't it?
Was it November? It might have been September, October might have been, or week. I could Google it. We don't need to Google it.
I went to Sydney to watch it.
And did you watch the great event?
I watched the equestrian
You go to the probably the greatest thing, greatest sporting achievement and event that we've seen an Australian be in?
400. I don't know if I was there that night, but Ray Wilson, a teammate who played in 71. Grand final got me tickets. I went with Ray and his family, but I also went to the equestrian out at...
Don, we'll get on to the
equestrian. Place called out at Camden. Anyway, out at the equestrian
Homebush?
Homebush. No,
I don't know. You're making it up.
I'm not making it up. I was there. For the equestrian.
So don't worry about that equestrian. What was the great event that you got tickets from Ray Wilson to go
for the athletics.
And who did you watch?
If I watched Catherine.
Right.
I don't think I was there that night.
Well, you would remember if you did.
Yes.
She was in the space suit.
I know
exactly. Outfit.
I remember.
And one of the great sporting events, and it's the 20th.
The pressure that was on that girl, the expectation, pressure, and she didn't succumb at all.
No.
It's one of the great efforts.
That's what I said. And it's 20th anniversary coming up and they're doing a recollection, if you like, a reconnoiter, a special on it. And it will be good to see this woman who represents, who does she represent and represents them beautifully, us, the Indigenous folk of Australia.
She represents all of Australia.
That's what I said. But people will claim her representing just a certain part of Australia, which is probably the controversy going on in this country at the minute. Not of us all are Australians. Some of us are more Australian than the others, so people would like to say.
So what are you going to do with yourself over the next 6 weeks?
Doing exactly what I've been doing for the last 6 years.
Well, I'll give you a couple of things you can watch on television. You ready? Free to air.
It was free to air.
Free to air. You ready?
Yep.
The Sound. Now, that is a music show. It came on at 5:30 on Sunday. It should be elevated to a better position than 5:30. I saw Michael Gudinski's name in the credits. It's hosted by Red Simon. He was one of the hosts. A very, very good music show. It goes for about an hour on the ABC.
Right.
That's one you should look at, and the ABC should put it into prime time.
Yes.
The other one, Backroads.
Right.
Have you watched Backroads? Usually it's
Heather Hewitt. Has it been on?
It's a weekly thing.
It's
usually hosted by Heather Hewitt, but it wasn't last week. It was a great show about in Indigenous communities north of Broome.
Why wasn't it on last week?
I said it was on last week.
I see.
About an Indigenous community above Broome, north of Broome, and how they're adapting.
To
and
what?
They're going to set up a tourism industry. They're at pains at the moment about the road being sealed into their community.
Yes.
But they've got a lot of natural wonders that really
and
should
some
be
of them
seen.
Are what?
Well, just natural wonders.
What?
Like landscape, the
vista,
sea, the whole thing.
The aesthetic appeal of the country.
You can't get in there. Very difficult to get in there at the moment because of the dirt road. But they're going
No vehicles possibly?
Well, you can put a vehicle, but the road is corrugated. very rough on vehicles, and that's why vehicles don't go. So they're at pains.
So they've made a road into the reserve.
They're going to bituminise the road.
Bituminised. So they've made a road that is so bad and so corrugated that no car or vehicle can drive on it. Why did they make the road if you can't drive on it?
Well, what happens, Johnny, in the outback, if you don't continually grade the road, it receives corrugations by vehicles going over it. So you've got to constantly grade. But if you were to bituminise the road, you wouldn't have to constantly grade it.
Might that take away the rustic beauty of the area?
This is what they're at pains at the moment.
So what about we get a GoFundMe page and buy a grader? And then when it gets corrugated...
Why do that? Why not just GoFundMe page? A lot of money's... Actually, it doesn't go to the right source, that GoFundMe page.
I know. Are you listening down there? Are you listening at home to me?
Yes.
Thank you. If you've conceded that bituminising the road might take away from the rustic nature of the landscape and its aesthetic appeal, why don't we just get a grader to grade over the corrugations when they become corrugated so we don't have to bituminise it, but the cars who are in this day and age can't drive over corrugated, I don't know what that means, can't drive over corrugated road, can just drive over it, and we just put the grader in a shed or camouflage it so it can't be seen and bring it out every other week and grade the road.
Oh, I suppose we could. I suppose I haven't thought of it. Johnny, I just watched
I've
program.
Just thought of it.
I know. But you think outside the square. You're one of these lucky individuals who's able to think outside the square.
So besides you can't drive up the road that they made for cars, but it's so crook that you can't drive on it, what are the have they shown on this show that compared by Heather Hewitt?
No. She usually did it, but somebody else did it last week.
Was she ill?
Well, sometimes she does it and sometimes she doesn't, but she's the main host. The main host, and they've got the ABC, they've got reporters right around Australia, and the chaps...
Have they?
They have.
ABC, Australian ABC. Broadcasting Commission. They would probably have them all around Australia.
Yes, they
called
have.
Australian
they have.
Broadcasting
anyway,
Commission.
Anyway, a chap did it, and...
Chap?
A gentleman. I forget. I wouldn't.
Another person.
Anyway, that is one road. So called back road. So fill your time.
You've got me interested. What are the aesthetic features of this great tourist attraction? Cliffs or surf
seals? Everything, the tyre, everything that goes on out there, it's just unexplored.
Bloke pulled up on the Great Ocean Road, pulled up in a car and there's a...
Where? At Eyre's Inlet or Lawn?
He was eating a... what was he eating? One of those drumsticks or something? The seal was. And he said, what's something wrong with the car? And he said, no. He said, I thought you'd just blown a seal. Because he had the ice cream dripping out of his mouth.
Hang on, I haven't given you the other one.
Good one.
The third show.
What?
I haven't given you the third show.
Shows. So what was the... Just recap for the listener.
Okay, first one, the sound.
The sound, a great
comes
thing
on
by Michael Gudinski.
No. He's in the credits. I quickly saw his name in the credits, recognised it. I don't know what he's doing with it, but it's called The Sound. Should be in prime time. Backroads, a must watch. And the other one is called Landline that comes on Sunday afternoon at 12 o'clock. And it just shows the ingenuity of Australians and what they do on the land. And they're really... What businesses they come up with,
their appetite, Donald.
I'm giving you a recommend. Yes, if I build
it
up too much.
What do you mean, watch shit? What shit is that? What did you say?
Watch it.
Oh, watch it?
Yes.
I thought you said, what shit? Now, Donald, what is...
Pip Courtney, I think, is the lady who hosts Landline.
Pip Courtney... What's the ingenuity of some Australians?
Just what they come up with, it is fascinating.
What, Donald, what do they come up with? Have you been watching these shows? I don't think they've come on yet, have they? You were watching a preview of them, weren't you? They haven't even...
No, they... What is happening in there? I'm getting calls through the headphones.
Well, Don, I'm confused. I am told.
What's happening?
Don't. What do you mean? What's he?
What are you writing? I'm getting stuff through the earphones.
Oh, you're getting stuff through the earphones that he's writing. Don, I think, have these shows been on yet?
Yes, I saw a preview
of them.
I saw them in their entirety. I watched Landline every Sunday afternoon.
Well, if you've watched Landline in its entirety, tell us what are the ingenious things that Australians come
John,
up with on the
there's so land. Many
well,
things.
Give us
well,
one.
I'm not going to build up your expectation. Watch it.
All right. Well, what do they do?
It's called Landline. They go out into
hydroponics.
They do a million things about what's happening
clearing rabbits
in country Australia.
Clearing the
yes, they'll go into that. They'll talk about the dog fence. They might talk about whatever sheep. You know, making anything.
Crutching sheep, shearing them
could.
Now,
Landline, and also the netball came back on. They've adulterated the netball by putting a circle around the goal shooting semicircle. You get a bonus. I think it's two shots. A bit like basketball, they brought in a three-shot if you shoot from outside the square or the key. They've done the same now to a degree in netball.
Have they got any political statements on the court?
No.
Like, you know, Black Lives Matter or anything like that? To racism, which is all very good, but...
Why are you bringing all that up
I'm tell you why I'm bringing this up. Because the ratings have crashed in America on the NBA and the Major League Baseball after protest-filled debuts of players and the game coming back on with political statements adorning not only the players' uniforms, but also slogans on the ground and on the courts. And while they're all very well meant, people are sick. Just by the ratings drop-off, people are sick and tired of politicising sport. And this is our point. This is my point about it here as well. Just let people go to the football and watch the football without being told what they should believe in and why. If you consider that racist, so be it.
Actually, Hank Williams Jr. posted an interesting thing. I don't know, what is it, Facebook, Twitter or whatever it is?
Whatever, social media,
I'm not going to read it, but he has posted a very interesting...
Well, go on.
I'm not going to... It's too long. It goes for too long.
Why'd you bring it up then?
Because it talks about... How, well...
Don.
It'll go on for sentences.
Don.
I'll just read the first.
Oh, you're going to read it now?
No, just the first
sentence. I can't vaguely hear you down there. If you could speak into the microphone a bit more, please.
Into my phone? I'm trying to read
as... No, you've got a landline down there. I had it installed. You're not speaking on the phone. You're speaking into a microphone. Go on.
If you are offended by something, then leave it alone, he starts off. If Cracker Barrel offends you, then don't.
Is that cheese?
Cracker Barrel cheese.
Like coon?
Well, I suppose so.
Well,
then coon. Eat something else. But I like it. Leave it alone. And he just goes on, and I will not continue on.
Why not?
Because it goes for so long, I don't want to bore you, but it's a very interesting piece.
Why did you bring it up? You said...
Because you were talking about...
You said Hank Williams.
Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, well, all right, Hank Williams Jr.
There's a difference.
Yeah, that probably is. So Hank Williams Jr., you said, has brought up a very interesting thing, which I'm going to read out, and you said...
I like worshipping God.
A big pun,
but you are offended.
Is this still Hank?
Yes, so don't go to church.
Is this? I'm sorry, that's still Hank.
I'm just pulling these little sentences out at random as you're talking.
Don, I'm going to give you carte blanche. Just read the whole thing out.
No, I'm not going to. It goes for too long.
Why'd you bring it up, man?
Because I was trying to back up your statement
about politicising things. Well, have a listen to this. Have you heard of Ellen DeGeneres?
Yes, of course I have.
She's the...
She married the girl from Geelong.
Portia Rossi. What's her name? Hang on, tell me, who am I speaking to? Portia de Rossi.
She came from Geelong, your hometown.
Yeah. And
now, hang on. I heard something interesting about you and your hometown. Drums in a jazz club in your younger day?
No.
You didn't? In a jazz
club? I hope
club
I speak clearly. Can you hear me down there?
I heard you were a drummer in a jazz group that played in Geelong.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, I'll go back to that man.
What, you wouldn't take it from me that I wasn't?
No, well, he said you were, and I said,
No, you've come straight to the source. Even though you're a long way away, I presume you're asking me, did I play in a jazz group in Geelong? Did I play the drums there? And I said to you, no, I didn't. And you said, I'll go back to my source. Don, don't have to go back to anyone. Just ask me again. I'm the person you're referring to.
I'm just going to say that, no, you were wrong in saying that...
I was wrong.
The man who told me that you were in a jazz group.
Now, look, what we're going to do, Don, we're going to just have a break.
Great.
Because I've...
Can I make a coffee while we're...
Well, you do whatever you like, Don. If you...
You're going to ring back?
I'm going to... What I'm going to do is we're going to sign this off now, then we're going to come back. I've got some very interesting, I hope.
How long have I got?
Just a minute, and I'm going to then ring you on the phone. So when I ring you after we finish this here, answer your phone because it'll be me, and then we'll come back and we'll do the second part of this because I've got, if you reckon, I've got some things I want to ask.
Which phone are you ringing me on? Because
doesn't
usually
matter,
it comes
Don't
up
complicated.
With no ID.
Don, I've no idea. I'm telling you, when the phone rings when we hang up here, stop this, answer it, it'll be me, no matter if my name comes up or not. All right?
Okay.
Right.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you, babe.